What if Inter goes to the finals of Europa League? Are we throwing a party? Barbecue at Cubani's house. We'll do it.
Look, I will tell you right now. If Inter plays against Man United, wherever we go, I'm wearing a Man United jersey. I am bringing a flag. I will bring a scarf. I will bring a jacket. I will paint my face black and red. I do not want Inter to win this title. I don't give a fuck that we're a Serie A show.
Listening to, I want to say, a special edition of Stereo Serie A, but nothing has been ordinary in 2020, and this show is no exception. I am your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio, and I am joined by the full crew remotely. Daniel, Donato, Grassi.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
You all right, man? Everything okay?
I'm good. I was just watering the grass outside. You know, I got a... house responsibilities now.
Buddy, I hear you, man. I hear you. And they never end. Anthony Sports Caddy Lapopolo.
I feel like the season's ended, obviously, but I feel like it's going to feel like one long season from now until the Euros start, really.
That's the strange thing. You are right, because the season is not over, really, because we still got Europe going on. And if your team's competing in Europe, then... your team is still playing games. But I don't know who to introduce first, because we've got a dream team behind the metaphorical glass, the production crew. Bozy. What's up, man?
Not too much. Just spending the week with mom and dad in London. And I will add to the European play. It's nice to have teams only focusing on one tournament for a change. So that's why I'm excited for Champions League here.
Yeah, it will make things interesting. And I like the one-game knockout format. I'm not going to lie. Then we've got the Brothers of Destruction. And I'm assuming they are under the same roof. Gizmo, intern. What's up, boys?
Yo, what's good? We're under the same roof, but different rooms.
Can confirm this. Different rooms.
Yeah.
I've been an emotional mess these past, 3-4 days. With all this bullshit that's going on in sports, both my teams suck.
Don't start.
Yeah, I don't want to start with the Leafs. This is a Serie A podcast, so we'll talk Juventus and not the Leafs. So all those people listen from Montreal, you know what? I don't like you guys, because your Habs advanced and my Leafs didn't, and we've been suffering for too long, so...
You know what? This NHL format is a joke. I want to put that first and foremost. Anyways, but let's get to the point. Let's talk Serie A, because even with games being over, and yes, it is August, but this is almost like a wrap-up show. We're not going to wrap up the season, because that would take way too long. But what did take place at the conclusion of the campaign for Juventus anyways is the firing of a man who just reached the objective. Because that's what has been coming out of the Juventus camp, is that the objective was to win a 9th straight Scudetto. Maurizio Sarri helped the club do that. However, he has been relieved of his duties and replaced by a man they just hired to coach the under-23 team, Italian Milan and Juventus legend Andrea Pirlo. Boys, I cannot make that kind of stuff up. How are we feeling, and what do we think about the news?
He literally just got hired 8 or 9 days ago to take over the under-23 team. I think it's the fastest promotion in sports history. from taking over the youth or Primavera team to getting called up to the big show. I'm a little bit shocked. It doesn't seem very Juve-like. It's not very calculated. I think over the last 9 or 10 years, we can expect a certain thing from this Juve, with the hiring of Conte to the hiring of Allegri. Even the hiring of Sarri made more sense, I guess, and was more predictable than this, especially because of the fact that they wanted to play better football, more attractive style. Although it seems like Pirlo said all the right things and he impressed Agnelli in the interview that he had. He has a strong philosophy. He knows what he wants to do. Him and Agnelli have a great relationship. So I think maybe Agnelli's banking on the fact that Pirlo is a world-class player, one of the best ever in his position. People always talk about his intellect and how intelligent he is, and hopefully that can go over as a coach, because there's a lot of question marks. People are comparing him to what happened with Pep Guardiola and Zidane, but I don't think those are the right comparisons, because those two other coaches at least had some experiences with the youth division. So this is, Pirlo is basically going from player to manager right away, because he hasn't even finished his badges yet. So only time will tell if it's the right signing. But I think people are going to respect him the way they respect Pep and the way they respect Zidane. I think people understand that he was coached under the best managers, in Lippi in the national team, and Ancelotti, and then Conte, and then Allegri. So he comes with loads of experience in that sense. But to be the man and to be the main figure of a team, not so much. So only time will tell what's going to happen.
Do we expect to see Pirlo get mad on the bench? Because he just doesn't take me as the guy to get mad on the sideline. You always see coaches flip out and lose their shit all the time. I have a really hard time picturing Pirlo done up in a suit, yelling and screaming at a ref. I don't know if it's you guys feel the same way, but that's just my opinion.
Well, that's the thing, right? We don't really know what to expect from Pirlo. We know him as a player, the suave type of playmaker, but we don't really know what to expect from him on the touchline. We don't really know how he'll set up the team. We're all guessing that, he'll focus on possession football, but there's some people out there saying he likes to play a 4-3-3. It's going to be, a really interesting to see A, how he reacts on the touchline, B, how he sets up the team, and C, whether we're not giving him enough credit as a coach. I mean, obviously because he doesn't have a lot of experience or any experience, like you said, Grassi, it's hard to be, really optimistic about his chances as a manager, but I don't know. He has that aura, right? I think that's where the comparison to Zidane comes from. It's that aura that he has that I think could have a massive impact in the dressing room.
Look, I think ultimately it is a calculated risk. Juventus are in win now mode, but I think this move was also economical. I mean, Sarri is owed a lot of money, and I think fortunately for Juventus, I don't think Sarri is going to stick around and get paid the full 2 years at his age. I think he wants to coach, but he has the right to if he wants to. And we're talking about 20 million. So I think having Pirlo on the books already helped. And I think that they saw something in him. We don't know, and nobody will know until the season starts on September 19th. By the way, the season does start September 19th. That is official. But at the same time, We're intrigued to find out. And I think he's got that maturity. And like you said, Ant, he's got that aura. And this is a team that perhaps has been overcoached for the last couple of years. A team that's got the talent, that's got the skills. I think they do have some holes that definitely need to be addressed. And they've already started to do that, right? Especially in the midfield. So I think there are gaps that need to be addressed. And I think we're seeing that. So I think it's going to be a fun season to watch. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Juventus win a 9th straight Scudetto, and by no surprise, they also take home a lot of awards in doing so. What did we think of the awards, guys?
I was a little bit surprised that Dybala won MVP. I'm happy he won. He's one of my favorite players. But when you look at the season and you look at what Immobile was able to do and even Papu Gomez, it's a little bit surprising. You could even throw in Ronaldo's name, obviously, with his 30-plus goals. It's really surprising because Dybala was great in little spurts. Obviously, he was decisive. I think 6 or 7 out of his 11 goals were the first goal or the winning goal in a match. He won a lot of penalties as well, and obviously he had a lot of assists. One of the only players, I believe, in double digits in both assists and goals. But when you look at someone like Papu Gomez and the season that Atalanta had, it's hard to argue against him. I personally would have given it to Papu Gomez. I know Immobile tied Higuain's record for most goals in a Serie A season, and Lazio were fantastic, and they also ended up winning the Supercoppa against Juve. But just to see what Atalanta did with the resources that they have and the limited funds, and you know they continue to lose players, but they don't really skip a beat. And I think that also comes down to Papu Gomez and his talent and his quality. I think he was fantastic. I think if there was a Ballon d'Or this year, I think he would have made the 30-man list. I think he would have finished in 29th or 30th, but I honestly think that he would have made the list. And I think if there was a Copa America, it would have been hard to see him not on that Argentinian national team. I don't know how many minutes or how many games he would have played, but he would have fully deserved to be on that team. So for me, you know, the MVP award, I probably would have gave it to Papu Gomez. I was a little bit surprised that Szczęsny won the goalie of the year. I think I would have given it to Handanovic or someone like that. The amount of goals that Juve leaked this year, it's hard to see how Szczęsny is the MVP. I know he had the highest performance index and the highest save percentage, but it's not like Juve concedes a lot of shots, which is surprising by the amount of goals they've conceded as well, right? So I think De Vrij was the best defender. I think they got that right. Papu Gomez was given the best midfielder. I'm not really sure if he's a midfielder or not. He plays like really high up the pitch. He's more of a winger slash forward. So I think they just felt bad not giving him the MVP. They had to give him an award. So I'm okay with that. But he's not really a midfielder in my opinion. And obviously Immobile, best striker, most goals, ties Higuain's record. And he also won the European Golden Shoe Award, only the third Italian to win it. So he's had a fantastic season. So overall, some of the awards make sense and some of them don't. But that's pretty much like Serie A. We don't always make sense.
I don't know. I'm not crazy about these awards. I'd much rather talk about Pirlo and how he's supposedly going to revolutionize this Juventus team. And he's already kicking players out. We saw Matuidi go to Inter Miami already. Boom. It's like, I think he called all the players today and said, hey, sorry, buddy, you're not going to be a part of the team. Great, great guy, but you're not going to be a part of the team. So figure out where you want to go play, and we'll do the best to make it happen. Higuain is most likely out, and we the same with Khedira, hopefully. So I'll let you go, Grassi.
Yeah, no, that's what the rumors are, that he called all the players that aren't in his plans to let them know, I'm sorry, you know, you're not in this the new project that we're going to have. I think that showed class if he does. This way allows the player and their agents to find other adventures for them. Like you said, Higuain and Khedira are next, as a lot of people have been reporting. I think there's a lot of holes in this team, and I think Pirlo is going to demand youth to come in the squad. I know Juve have been linked with Tonali and Zaniolo and the player from Lyon who had a fantastic game against us. And I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly. I apologize. Aouar. He had a fantastic game. I just want to say, like, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Sarri. I was against his hiring from the beginning. I thought it was a useless hiring if you weren't going to provide him with the necessary resources to play his style. I feel bad for him in a way because they didn't give him the players that he needed. If you were only going to hire him for 1 year but not give him the players that he needed to play his Sarri ball, it doesn't make sense. I feel happy that he was able to win the Scudetto. If you look at pictures and he just stares at the Scudetto winner's medal the same way he looked at the Europa League's winner medal last year with Chelsea, it was kind of like when you're looking at something for the first time, you look like somebody in awe because he had never won a trophy and then he had never won anything in Italy. So I feel happy for him. But at the same time, I think he was a little bit hard done because he wasn't given the proper resources and the proper players to implement his philosophy. And that's why he was brought in. But I just felt there was always a disconnect between him and the Bianconeri society and what it means to be part of Juve. I just felt that there was a lot of hate between, you know, the fans and him and the club because of his past adventures with other teams. I know there was a lot of bust-ups and arguments within the training sessions. There was a story that came out that he had made a joke in one of the training sessions when, I think there was a goal that happened that was soft and the defensive pairing was Chiellini and Bonucci. And he looked at Chiellini, who is now the captain of the team, and he's like, I can't believe I lost two Scudetti to you guys that play like this. And that didn't really rub Chiellini the right way. And I know there was a photo that was posted on social media. Juve has a photographer that's been with the club for many years. And all the players are getting their medals and they're on the field. And Sarri is walking the opposite way. And the photographer said that when the person who was taking the picture said, and his caption was, the photo that closed the league. The boys are preparing to celebrate with their coach by throwing him in the air. And what does he do? He just walks away. So, you know, usually the coach, you know, he gets tossed in the air like they do in every sport. But Sarri didn't want that to happen. He looked genuine when he was collecting his winner's medal and when he was talking afterwards. And obviously his smiles and everything was real. But there was just this big disconnect between him and the club. I just think it was the wrong decision from the beginning. And when you hear all these stories now, after the fact, you could tell that it wasn't a marriage that was going to last long.
I can understand why they wanted somebody like Sarri to bring this more attractive style play to Juve after many years under Allegri, where it was more defensive, more cautious. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about winning for Juve right now. I mean, they could play beautiful football, but if they don't get the results, I mean, it doesn't really matter. And you know, even in this under Sarri, it wasn't really all that pretty anyway. So it was, I think, a wasted year for Juve. Wasted. I mean, they won the Scudetto, but ultimately the objective, you know, Bonucci thinks otherwise. You know, he thinks the objective was the ninth straight Scudetto, but the objective remains the Champions League. That is, it's a borderline obsession now for the club, and that I think is the most important thing. You know, is winning in that competition. And you know, they don't really need a manager. I think they don't need a manager who can promise this beautiful football. They need a manager who can bring results and win convincingly. And they haven't really done that in, I would say, probably the last 2 years.
That kind of leads me into a question I wanted to ask you guys as well, based on, you know, how they actually play football, Juventus as a team. Do you think that if they hadn't got rid of Allegri, do you think they would have had a better season because Sarri wasn't really able to implement his philosophy? So do you think because of his reluctance to be tactically flexible, do you think if Juventus had stuck with Allegri, they would have had a better outcome and perhaps still be competing in Europe?
It's possible, because you're talking about players who were so accustomed to playing a certain way, and then all of a sudden they had to flip the script and change it completely. And you know, they were used to sitting back and, you know, kind of not playing at the kind of intensity that I think Sarri would like to see. You know, there's nothing wrong per se with the way the Juve were playing under Allegri. You know, I think there was just this negative connotation associated with that brand, and I think Sarri, as Grossi said, Sarri didn't really have the players to kind of, you know, to play his style of football. He didn't have the midfield, certainly. But you could also argue that, hey, Sarri wanted Pjanic to make 150 touches per match, and that was never, you know, a reality. It was never close to being a reality for Juve. So I think there was misjudgments by both the club and by Sarri. And there's an argument out there that, you know, sorry, should have had a second season, but I think there was only one way, one direction this relationship was going, and it was south. And I think Juve were right to fire Sarri when they did.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm still like pissed off about these awards. Now, intern, I know you didn't care, bro, but Howie Mobile doesn't win MVP makes zero sense to me. I don't care what the situation is. When you tie the Serie A all-time fucking goal record, you deserve to win an MVP award.
Yeah, 23 penalties, bro. 23
yeah, I know. Penalties, hey, listen, bro. Listen. You still got to bury them.
You just like Immobile because he's Napoli time. That's why.
Hey, you know what? Yes, Wayne, yes.
So let's go. Biases aside, let's go, Kubani.
No. Biases aside, though, listen. When you tie the record, you deserve credit. That's all I am saying.
Look at Higuain's goals and then look at Immobile's goals.
Yes, I remember. He was wearing a Napoli jersey, bro.
Exactly.
But here's
bro.
The
give,
thing.
Give him some credit.
Here's the thing. Yes. But let's go back. Did Higuain not miss any penalties that season? Because he did, right? Like, let's go back and look at, yeah, Higuain didn't have as many penalties, but it's not like he didn't have opportunities. Right. And the other thing is, and Grassi knows this better than anybody, he also had 7 goals against Grassi's hometown, Frosinone, that season. So yes, Higuain, I'm not going to diminish what he did. He had a remarkable season, and some of the goals he scored were absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? I still believe had he stayed on Napoli during those sorry years, Napoli wins a Scudetto at least one of those seasons, but that's nothing, and you can't take away anything from Immobile, what he did this year.
No, of course, you can't take it away, but I think on a more serious note, Kubani, I think Immobile probably would have been given the MVP had Lazio perhaps won the Scudetto or at least came runner-up. I think they're sort of, the way they crashed out of that runner-up position and even first place, I think, kind of tainted his claim to that MVP award. Because they gave it to Dybala, who helped Juventus win their 9th Scudetto in a row.
You know what? I just looked this up, but when Higuain won, or when he broke the scoring record, he didn't win the MVP either.
Huh. Interesting. Who won that year?
He broke the record in 2015 or 2016. I think it was 2016, right, Kuba?
Yes, yes.
The winner of that award was... Actually, take a guess. Who do you think won that award? I am shocked because I thought it was...
Tevez.
No, Tevez was the year before. That's who I thought won, but he had already gone. He had already left. The 2016 award went to Leonardo Bonucci.
Wow.
Yeah, I do believe
now,
that, though.
I know he was great that year, and Juve was... I remember Juve was several points behind, and he had come up big, and he scored several goals as well, and... So I get it. But like you said, we have 2 record goal scorers. And Immobile won the European Golden Boot Award. He beat out Lewandowski. And he still didn't get the award this year. So I don't know who's voting.
You know what? And like, sorry to interrupt. Like, and I'm not going to discredit Dybala because Dybala did have a fantastic year. But it's not like he did anything that was like ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's not like he did anything that was stupid. That like... You know, Immobile ties a record here. And yeah, again, Dybala had a fantastic year. But if you're going to take the award from someone who had a record, you've got to have like a dumb campaign where, you know, you're leading a team that's not supposed to win anything to something great. And that wasn't the case, you know. So I just, to me, it doesn't make sense. But what also doesn't make sense is how sketchy the last game of the season was. Has anybody talked about this? Because I feel like it's been pretty quiet.
Well, it's been quiet because, well, we'll get into Kubani. Why don't you go into the details and then we can talk about maybe why nobody really talked about it.
Okay, so Genoa, here's the situation. And even
someone's making out with somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, it's beyond making out. I don't know if there's, anyways. Genoa is one team, right? And Hellas Verona is another team. And Genoa was facing relegation here. Basically, if they didn't win, and Lecce did, they're out. right? They're going down to Serie B. We're talking millions and millions and millions of euros. You know, if they tie and Lecce wins, Lecce's going through. Like, there's all kinds of situations for Genoa to go down. But what's interesting about this situation is the captain of Verona, who's got absolutely nothing to play for. You know, they're already safe from relegation. They'll be in Serie A. They're not going to be playing in Europe. But, hey, they've had a decent season. They will be back in Serie A next year, and they've got a meaningless game against Genoa, who is fighting for their lives. Now, coincidentally, Verona captain Miguel Veloso is married to Paola. So what, you may ask? Who's Paola? Well, Paola is Genoa president Enrico Preziosi, his daughter. So get this right. Yeah. You heard it. I think I said it right. Miguel Veloso is married to Paola Preziosi, the daughter of Genoa president Enrico, in a game where if Genoa loses, they're going to lose a lot of money. That Preziosi family is going to lose a lot of money. And lo and behold, by halftime, what's the score? Anybody? Anybody want to? Was it close? Was it 0-0?
3-0.
Oh, 3-0. Oh, for Verona, right?
No.
No.
3-0 for Genoa, which hasn't happened in a long time.
Now, I'm not going to make any accusations here, but if I called my buddy Declan, I think he would have some questions. Boys, what are our thoughts here?
This story didn't really make the rounds, and I think it would have.
How? How?
Well, I think I think it would have been a bigger story if Lecce didn't shit the bed.
Because 100%.
Yeah.
Lecce had to win. If they won and Genoa won, then it would have been a little bit suspicious, right? Because, you know, with a Lecce loss, no matter what Genoa did, they were okay.
Here's the thing, and then I apologize to interrupt, but if you're Lecce and you see this situation and you see it's not only 1-2-3-0 at half, how do you stay motivated? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get 100% what you're saying. Lecce still had to win and get the job done, and they didn't. And that's not any fault of Genoa's. But at the same time, like, how do you stay motivated when you know what's happening here?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they didn't. Maybe they did at halftime. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they knew that Genoa were 3-0 up at halftime. But it was 2-2 in their own game at halftime. So they still had work to do in their own game if they wanted a chance to stay up. But yeah, it's just the optics, the perception there, and there really was no need for Veloso to even play in that game. Like, just remove it from the equation. Like, it, like, Serie A doesn't need any more like shady connections or any shady stories, anything to cast aspersions onto the league. Like, it was such an avoidable thing that, and I think that's what bothers me the most, is that if Hellas Verona actually had something to play for, fine, you play your best players, but just get rid of the storyline, make it a non-story, and protect the team and the league that way. But I don't know.
Yeah. In all fairness, though, they did beat Lecce a couple of weeks before that, 2-1, and then they followed that up 3 days later with a big derby win against Sampdoria.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know they lost the last two games against Inter and Sassuolo before the Verona match with a combined score of 8-0 because they lost 3-0 to Inter and 5-0 to Sassuolo. But those two games before that, they did beat Lecce head-to-head 2-1, which was massive. And then they fought against and came back against Sampdoria. So I do want to give them a little bit of credit. Like, I know it's extremely sketchy when you have the president going out or his daughters going out with one of the players and all this stuff. But I want to give them a little bit of credit just because they did pull off those two wins within 3 days of each other, which those 6 points were the difference.
Do you think there should be a playoff? Like for maybe the bottom, let's say you hit a certain threshold and there's a playoff depending if the points are super close so you avoid situations like this. Because I feel like it's luck of the draw sometimes. Like you said, you have Verona who's literally playing for nothing. And then you have Genoa who's fighting for relegation. And then at this point, it's just, it's going to be a crapshoot. Hellas Verona doesn't care. They're saying, you know what, it's not our fault. You know, we're just here to play. And Genoa is the one that takes over and wins the match. And I don't know. I think maybe a playoff might be a little bit more exciting and it might curb some of this, shady shit that goes on in the background.
Look, you're 100% right. And Gross, you're 100% right. When you say, you know what, Genoa had to win games before and they did. And you know what? It's not, they put themselves in a situation and let you put themselves in a situation where they were vulnerable to that situation to begin with. But that still doesn't make it right either way.
No, it doesn't.
No, and exactly. And I know you're not saying it does. But what I will say as well that, you know, maybe a playoff is a good idea. I think it's certainly more exciting. I know the Bundesliga does it with a team from the second division. So there are ways to go about that. But then again, like, there's always going to be shady situations and scenarios that can pop up regardless of what format you create. So regardless, it's just optically it looks terrible. And the fact, again, that it was 3-0 when it was, and the fact that we haven't even been able to look up the last time Genoa had a 3-0 lead at halftime because it's been that long. So if there's any hardcore Genoa fans listening that can tell us, please let us know. But yeah, it is what it is, and I don't know what to make of it. It is just when you hear stories and you know, we've had Declan Hill on the show in the past, and it's just, you just get a weird feeling with it, and that I don't like. What I do like, though, is the fact that at least one Italian team will be playing in the Champions League, and at least one Italian team will be playing in the Europa League. Both Atalanta and Inter are through. Atalanta to the quarterfinals in the Champions League, and Inter to the semifinals of the Europa League. What are we making of these stories, boys?
This is the first time since 2010 that Inter will be playing in a semifinals of a European competition. And that year they went on to win it. They won the treble. I know they're not going to have an easy task on the next team that they play against. But I think the top three teams that are remaining in this competition are Inter, Man United, and Sevilla. So Sevilla and might play against Man United in the semifinals. So Inter may only have to go through one of them in order to be crowned champions. And in a one-off, you never know what happens, especially if Inter is to face Manchester United. There's so many narratives that you can talk about. You have ex-players in Alexis Sanchez and Ashley Young, and obviously Lukaku, who used to play for Man United in the BPL. You have Conte playing against Man United. He used to play against him when he was the coach of Chelsea, and they had all these bust-ups between him and Mourinho, and he was the coach of United. Sevilla is the kings of the tournament, winning it the most times. They're five-time winners. So there's some juicy storylines. I think Inter has every right to believe that they could win this title. Conte's never won a European competition. He made the semifinals of this competition in 2014, I believe it was, with Juve. So this is his second time being in the semis, so maybe he can go one better. And then who knows, there's always rumors of him potentially leaving, as he's going to have a face-to-face meeting with the president and the owner of Inter. So maybe he wants to leave on a good note. He wants to leave with a European crown. So who knows? I think Atalanta has every right to believe that they can progress in the competition, although it's going to be difficult with Ilicic and Golini missing out. But PSG is also missing a couple of players. And, you know, they haven't played much football, although they did win both of their cup competitions. One happened to be in a shootout against Lyon a little over a week ago. So they have a little bit of competition under their belt. But Atalanta has been stellar all season, and you never know what could happen when you have Papu Gomez and Gasperini at the helm.
Ant, I was waiting for you to start gushing about Papu Gomez.
Well, I think we all know that I'm a big Papu Gomez fan. I think we're all fans of the guy, I think. But yeah, I mean, this is Atalanta's chance. I don't know if they'll have a better opportunity to win the Champions League. It's a goal for them, I think. It's a very real thing that they can achieve, especially with this with the way that this tournament is formatted as one-off ties. You know, they have every chance. They just got to be the better team on the night. And the thing with Atalanta, everybody kind of knows how they play, but they haven't really been solved yet on the pitch. And it's kind of interesting because even the great Barcelona side, you know, there were teams that learned how to play against them and neutralize them and kind of turn the tiki-taka into sterile possession. And they didn't really end up doing much with it. But with this Atalanta team, they've been going strong for, I would say, 3 years, and no one's really been able to come up with a solid, foolproof solution for them on the pitch. And that's the most interesting thing for me. Yes, they concede a lot of goals, but I mean, they can go, you know, blow for blow for, you know, with any team in Europe, I think. And even with Mbappe questionable for this game, you know, Neymar's still there, Icardi's still there, PSG has plenty of firepower. So I expect this to be a high-scoring game. But I think, you know, Atalanta can hold their own. I think they can outscore the opposition, and that's all that really matters to them.
Okay, and as impressive as Atalanta have been, I think the team we can all expect to go the furthest in the Champions League is Napoli. Oh, wait, no, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to lie, that hurt. It was disappointing because, especially right off the bat, Napoli looked the better side.
Well, Mertens hit the post.
Yeah! And honestly, the first 10 minutes, they really did look the better side. But as soon as Barca scored that first goal, there was about a half an hour where Napoli just completely collapsed, conceded three. And then, in all honesty, halftime came at the wrong moment for Napoli, too, because they get one back right before the break. And it was almost like the Leafs against Columbus the other night when they had one and they just had all the pressure. And it just looked like the second goal was going to come. And Caglione had a great chance. He didn't score. Goes into the break. And then Napoli just couldn't find it in the second half. So they have been eliminated. They are out. But I think all in all, truth be told, where this team was in December when they fired Carlo Ancelotti and where this team is in August with Reno Gattuso is night and day. And I think there's some work to be done, but I think all in all, they're in a good spot regardless of the exit.
Yeah. And there's these rumors too that, you know, Napoli needs to sell players to raise cash. Like, that is just such baloney. Like, this is one of the few teams in Serie A that actually turns a profit every year, so I don't really believe that at all. Even though it's very likely that Milik is going to be sold this year, like
Milik's gone.
Milik's gone because he wants to leave. I think that's the only reason there. But I don't think Napoli's under any pressure to sell Koulibaly, for example. I think if they want to sell him, they can, but I don't think they have to sell him for any, you know, financial reason.
No, and I think that's a good point, especially with Koulibaly, because I think they're in a situation where it's like De Laurentiis knows. He's got the idea that, look, if I'm going to get 80 to 100 million euros for him, I'll let him go. But if I'm not going to, I don't need to, and I won't. And I think you're right, Milik, they couldn't come to a contract. They don't sign. I know there's varying reports on how much the transfer was. In all honesty, it was more like 50 million euros after some interesting deals going the other way. We'll call it that. So you paid about 50 million for Victor Osimhen, and you didn't pay that if Milik is staying. The question is, where is Milik going and for how much? I know Juventus was strongly interested in him. I don't know now if that changes with Sarri going. Very likely it could. I think Alan is gone, and that's a certainty. So we'll see where Napoli addresses from there. But Napoli's already made some moves You know, they've already brought in Petagna, right? They've already brought in Osimhen. So, like, they brought in Demi and Lobotka in January. It'll be interesting to see where this team goes, but I think all in all that they're in a decent spot. The other team that we need to talk about that did progress in Europe today with an impressive win against Bayer Leverkusen. Say what you will about this team, but they finished the season just 1 point behind Juventus for the Scudetto, and they find themselves in the semifinals of a European competition, and Lukaku looks good. I'm sorry, Gross.
I appreciate that you avoided talking about Juve. I thank you for that.
Well, I feel like we discussed Juve. We know why Pirlo's in charge. And again, we left that on a positive for you. So I figured, you know what, let's just leave that at that.
I appreciate that because it's been a little bit rough. I predicted Juve was going to win the match but not qualify. And there you go. That was a catastrophe. That was a disaster. Like I said earlier, I think Inter has every right to believe that they could win this title. They only need two more wins to be crowned champions, which would be a record for Italian clubs. I think they're tied with Juve with 3 winners' medals. They would become the first Italian club to win 4, which would be big. It seems like everybody is on the same page. Conte has the players doing exactly what he wants. Alexis Sanchez has been a spark since coming back. I think Lukaku has been revelation with him. I think he's exactly the type of player that Conte thrives with. And obviously you can see it by the number of goals he's gotten. I think Inter is going to make the finals. However, I think they're going to be underdogs and I think they will lose if they play against Sevilla or Manchester United who are going to play in the semifinals. If Sevilla wins their game tomorrow, I think they'll be the underdogs in that game, barring any injuries for either of those sides. But we saw what Sevilla did to Roma, who they completely played them off the park. It didn't look like Roma even belonged there for large parts of the match. So I think Sevilla or Man United will be favorites against Inter if they're to meet in the finals. But in a one-off, anything could happen. And like I said, I think Inter should believe that they could win this title because I think they can.
How is Sevilla always in this competition?
Yeah.
How are they always winning this? Like, it just doesn't make sense. They're always there.
They're the only team to win 3 in a row, and they're one of the few teams that won back-to-back as well. As they won in 06 and then 07, and then they won in 2014, 2015, 2016. This competition used to be dominated by Italian clubs with, you know, Juve and Inter all winning 5 of these in the 90s, as well as playing in 2 other finals combined. Parma were also winners. So I think there was an Italian club in the finals 8 or 9 out of the 10 years in the decade. I think Torino made a finals as well along the way. I think Roma was in another one and Napoli won the 89 edition. So this was our competition before, but since the turn of the century and since 2010, I guess it's been mainly Spanish sides. So it's going to be tough. Atletico Bilbao have won. Atletico Madrid have won a couple. Sevilla has won 3 in that time. So I think they just seem to always be there. So I think it's their competition and they should believe that they can win it again, even though Sevilla has sold several players over the years. But I think it might be the right time for Inter to finally win a trophy after not winning one for the last 9 years. I believe the last one is the Coppa Italia that they won the year after the treble in 2011 when Milan won the Scudetto. As a Juve fan, I hope they don't win, but I think they have every right to believe that they can win, especially with the quality they have in the side.
And you better believe Benevento is believing these days as they are up and back in Serie A with Filippo Inzaghi leading the charge. Calabria is celebrating with Crotone coming up, and we don't know the third team yet, but who are we more excited to see next year? And the Battle of the Inzaghis, who wins them?
Simone.
Yeah.
Hey, don't discredit Filippo, though. Benevento looked really, really good in Serie B this year. And you know what? You're right. There's a huge, huge jump between Serie B and Serie A. But hey, I believe that this Benevento team can at least fight to stay up, and that there can be two teams from Campania for at least another season.
Well, I'm just happy that there's more, a little bit more southern representation in Serie A. That's what I was hoping. I was really hoping Lecce could pull it off and survive, but we're guaranteed at least three southern teams, so that ain't half bad. I'll take that.
I was going to say God bless the South, but nobody wants to get behind me, so that's fine.
Bro, Cosenza stayed up. That's all that matters. Cosenza stayed up in Serie B, so I'm happy.
All right, boys. It's been fun. I don't know if there's any other business we want to get to. Is there any other... anything that anybody wants to discuss?
Shout out to John Solano for breaking the Roma ownership. Big shout out to John Solano.
That's it, bro. You showed
him. Yeah, I gave him the shout out, bro. Are you freaking kidding? Are you freaking kidding me, bro? Are you freaking kidding me? The new owner. Yeah, freaking, yeah. It's your boy, Kubani.
It is my
maybe
boy.
Maybe he knows your Zia, bro.
He probably does know my Zia's cousin, but...
Tacopina.
but it has been fun, boys. It always is. This summer is going to be weird because the season won't start till September 19th. But there is European competition going on, and who knows, Atalanta or Inter could be lifting a trophy in a couple of weeks' time. So we will keep you posted on what we're doing, and as always, stick to our Twitter at Stereo City. We'll keep you posted on all that's going on in our world, and we miss you, we love you, and Bozy, what's going on with the docuseries, bro? Because we got to get going on that as well.
I don't know, bro. I got to get back on that train. It's going to be
a bumpy ride.
It's going to be a bumpy ride, but it's definitely on my. People loved episode one. I got to give them episode two.
It's true.
It's like now you're like Dr. Dre, and the next episode's Detox.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting for it to come out, and you're just not giving it to them.
I got
to
give them something. I
know. Yeah, you got, especially now that you're in the burbs. Burby Bozy is your new name. For our listeners at home that don't know, Bozy bought a beautiful house out in the burbs. We're not going to get into specifics, but he bought a beautiful house in the burbs. He's got an attic now that could potentially be a studio, as could the basement. I mean, you've got some options. And when that happens, the docuseries will be complete. Episodes 2 through 200. So stick to that. I all at once. So it's coming. It may take a while, but good work always does.
It's going to be like fucking Netflix, bro.
Hey, but you know what? When it does come out, you'll be thanking us that it did. So I have been your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio.
As always, Donato G.
Sports Caddy.
Bows.
Gizmo.
In turn, apologize to all the people I offended from Montreal in my earlier statement. I love you guys.
Hey, and by the way, hashtag free Cubani on Twitter. I'd appreciate it.
I cannot believe that you're still suspended.
Yeah, 2 months later, I think I'm giving up the fight, but just hashtag free Cubani. I appreciate it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
No, just tell the listeners when you tweet out the show, put free Cubani and tag Cubani.
Free Cubani.
Let's go. Let's get the ball rolling here.
It's a bumpy ride, let me tell you. But do not share Alfonso Davies' videos. Apparently, it's not a good idea. Anyways, thank you all for listening. It's always been a pleasure. We are Stereo City. We love you, and we are out. Peace.
Beccata in discoteca con lo sguardo da serpente, io mi sono avvicinato, lei già non capiva niente. L'ho guardata, m'ha guardato. E mi sono scatenato, Fred Astaire al mio confronto era statico e imbranato. Le ho sparato un bacio in bocca, uno di quelli che schiocca. Sulla pista diavolata, lì per lì l'ho strapazzata, l'ho lanciata, riafferrata, senza fiato l'ho lasciata. Tra le braccia mi è cascata, era cotta innamorata, per i fianchi l'ho bloccata e ne ha fatto marmellata. Oh yeah, si dice così, no? E poi, che idea?
Quale idea? Ci sta.
Che idea,
quale idea?